You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Game Scoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis,
Scoop,
Tina Amini,
back,
and Sam Claiborne.
Hey, everybody.
And we've got a great show for you this week.
I thought we were going to do the wave.
We're going to talk about that very impressive Unreal 5 engine tech demo. We're going to talk about Ghosts of Tsushima, which we just finally got a nice long gameplay demonstration for. But first, you know, I'm sorry. Can we just hold on a second? We've been shooting the show from home for a long time now. Had the same background for so long. I've been wearing the same hat. I feel like we need to like mix it up a little bit. Hit one second.
Okay.
Great. Cool.
Whoa.
Is that a screen?
Oh yeah, it is.
Oh my goodness.
Whoa.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Oh yeah. One day I was scrolling through Instagram. And this,
that's how they get you.
This baseball cap with an LCD screen on it showed up, and I knew I had to get it for this purpose.
Did you have to learn how to program?
No, there's an app on your phone that you use to type in whatever you want. I can make this say whatever I want.
Yeah. What about colors, though?
I don't know if there's colors or not.
Hmm. What's one other thing you've made it say?
I could also adjust. Oh, I made it say Kingo, and I showed it to Kingo, and he laughed.
Nice. I'm sure he knew what it said.
You can also adjust the animation and have it go from side to side, whatever you want. So we're going to be able to use this in any number of ways on the show. I think this is the refresh. This is the refresh GameScoop has been needing, I think.
Yeah. I can see that.
And if you're just listening to this, the audio version of the show, I'm wearing a very expensive looking hat with an LCD screen on it that says Scoop.
And nothing else. He's wearing nothing else.
That's right.
Worth tuning in for.
Hopefully there'll be some underwear with an LCD screen on it I can buy from Instagram.
Complete.
Okay. Okay. Hopefully everyone got a chance to watch that Unreal Engine 5 tech demo running on a PlayStation 5, captured from a PlayStation 5 that went up earlier this week. What do you guys think? Were you impressed?
I mean, it was certainly gorgeous. But so are tech demos meant to be.
I thought it was really, really pretty. And I thought it was a game I would play, which is funny to say for something you watch for about as long as an E3 reveal. But like if that was Nathan Drake in that game, it would just make total sense. It was kind of funny how Uncharted-y it felt, even with like the colors on the wall that you climb. And everything.
Crossed over with Infamous or something.
Yeah. Tomb Raider. Yeah, with the ending for sure.
Yeah, I thought it gave me Tomb Raider vibes for sure.
Yeah, Tomb Raider also. It's great.
I thought it was great. They talked a lot about triangles. That specifically. That
was everyone's of them.
That was everyone's big takeaway.
Yeah, I think my favorite headline was from the Hard Times, something along the lines of like, there's just a shortage of triangles in the world now, thanks to this new Unreal Engine tech.
We're not talking about polygons anymore, just triangles.
Yeah, particles. Particles make sense. Lumens. Nanites.
Lumens. We did talk about lumens a lot, too.
I mean, it was really impressive. I think I think the most exciting thing about it was this was sort of the first real, and it's weird to say that because it wasn't really a PS5 reveal by any means, but it was the first like connection to that in a tangible, genuine way that we could actually look at. But again, it's a tech demo. You know, how expansive is that going to be across how many games? Is it going to be in like the immediate launch window, or is it more like 2 years into the console's life cycle? Lots of questions around that stuff.
I don't think it's actually going to be available until 2021. So I wouldn't expect to see that tech in any launch games.
But a lot of people did you guys see that we found like an old Unreal 4 demo for the PlayStation 4? And it was like the exact same marketing beat. And it looks pretty good, but it's kind of choppy and janky. And games like, I think, you know, look better than that now, which is kind of cool.
For sure.
Like Ghost of Tsushima. That looks better than that.
Yeah. I really appreciated that it spent a lot of time talking about how it will make certain aspects of game development easier. Like they had this flock of bats that like weren't actually bats that like someone animated. It was just like, you know, particles that were like made up to be all fancy and move around like a flock of bats. And like, that's something that keeps bugging me about next gen is like, okay, so you're going to have 8K textures and like these incredibly detailed game worlds, but like, it's going to take teams of thousands and thousands of people years to make them. Like the graphical power can only be taken advantage of if you have the ability to like make these detailed worlds. So seeing software catch up to like fewer developers able to create worlds and caves and trees and things like that faster and more efficiently is like a totally critical part of the next gen puzzle.
Yeah. Hey, Justin, a flock of bats is actually called a colony of bats.
Whoa.
I just looked it up. Sometimes they're also called a camp of bats.
Yeah.
There was also the other bullet point that really related it back to the PS5, which was like load times and the fact that it's, you know, running on an SSD, which is much easier for kind of speaking to Justin's point of it's able to render a lot easier just because of the hardware. So even if you had this big vision and you wanted a lot of animations and effects, like all the rocks crumbling down and the bats flying around and like lots of those little details, it's difficult to contain it within a bandwidth, but the idea was that, you know, that within this engine and the PlayStation 5 hardware specifically, they speak to each other in a way that it would make the accessibility for developers to create that level of environment across like even smaller studios with smaller teams.
Yeah. A lot of people were taking
that game. I wonder if like that detail that you see in that game is going to be preventative of things that I like in games like exploration, where it's like, you can make a game look really good and all that detail is great, but like, you know, a human character can't really traverse a bumpy stalactite covered cave or something that's like so detailed. So you kind of need to, like Breath of the Wild simplified its art style and then made it so Link could like just climb every single thing in that game. And I'm wondering if like, you know, if we're going to see beautiful games that are more of that linear Uncharted style, which is I like, but I don't like it as much as the climb everything.
They talked a lot about automating certain animations that used to be done by hand or keyframing of just like, oh, you don't, you know, a programmer doesn't need to say like, she's going to put her hand there to like step through this door. Like that just happens when they get close to certain surfaces. Same with, I thought the sound was really cool. Like if you're a sound designer, you don't necessarily need to go into a cave and like record all these sound effects. Like the hardware, or I guess the Unreal Engine in this instance, supposedly, like I'm a little skeptical, but can know like the shape of the space that you're inside and like change the sound effect on the fly in real time.
Mm-hmm. Cool. We all need better sound bars now.
Mm-hmm. I just got rid of my sound bar.
I've always just used my television speakers. I've never had a sound bar. I've never had any type of surround system. I know I'm missing out.
I got rid of my, I started using these headphones to play video games. And oh my God, there's a whole soundscape. There's a whole world of sound that I didn't even know I was missing until I started using headphones.
This is why I played at work a lot.
This is why I like subtitles on movies and TV shows, because they'll just like tell you every level of detail of things that are going on, conversations in the background. You're like, oh, I didn't know that context without subtitles.
Final Fantasy is so funny that way. It has that cue of background character text. And you only hear like the word like dog as you go by. But then the person's like telling this elaborate story about how they saved their dog from a fire. It's pretty funny.
If you watch The Mandalorian with subtitles, you'll constantly see the child coos.
Yeah, I love that.
The child coos. A lot of people were taking that Unreal Engine 5 tech demo yesterday as a win for Sony, since it was sort of aligned with Sony running on a PlayStation 5. And then all day long, you get people trying to correct each other in the comments. Being, it's not a PS5 demo. It's an Unreal Engine 5 tech demo. I just think it's interesting. Like you mentioned that the last Unreal Engine 4 demo was also sort of aligned with PlayStation. Mm-hmm. It was captured from a PS4. So there must be some deal between Unreal and Sony.
Yeah, it was interesting because Phil Spencer actually tweeted out, I think, this morning or sometime recently following that demo drop, talking about Hellblade 2 and how like a lot of their first party studios are working on the Unreal Engine as well. He neglected to mention Unreal Engine 5, we suspect because he's talking about Hellblade 2. It could be insinuating that, but so it sounds like it is a partnership deal. We're currently trying to dig into that. So if we find out that it is Unreal Engine 5, you guys will be the first to know.
Yeah.
Maybe even before this episode airs. For fast.
Hopefully.
We know that Unreal Engine 5 is going to work on PC games, you know, Xbox games, PlayStation games. So yeah, aligning the announcement with like it's running on a PlayStation 5 is, you know, that's marketing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also but really good timing for them following Inside Xbox, considering there was all that clamor about this isn't gameplay and it's not running, you know, on that level. Like we can't really see how tangibly these things are going to look. But we did have the first next-gen gameplay for The Ascent on the Xbox Series X. So. You can see that stuff.
Yeah, check that game out. It's really cyberpunky and cool. Not like the cyberpunk game, like the cyberpunk genre. We could have played this.
What?
This was going to be a GDC. We got that scoop. Our reporter, Matt Kim, asked, like, was this a real game? And they're like, no. But, you know, we are going to have it playable, which I don't even know what that means. Like, does that mean they would have had PlayStation demo units there? Or would they have just gone with the PC version for that? Like, it's
so probably just running off a PC.
Mm-hmm.
They would have done the thing where it's like it's locked in a box, right? And you can't actually see what it's running on.
What if they revealed that though? What if like they waited a couple months and they're like, "And you guys actually all played a PlayStation 5 is inside that box," and they're like, "Open it up
with like 20 locks on it."
Yeah, for real.
I feel like that's a huge security risk that Sony would not take at like giant GDC convention with a bunch of people floating around.
It would have been like our Animal Crossing demo at PAX. It would have been on two switches that they're going back and forth on.
Do you think it's co-op and somebody gets to be the lady and somebody gets to be the drone and the one person just gets to be the sun? Because somebody was controlling
Controlling the sun, show like how it's bouncing off really realistically. Right,
I'd play as the sun. I think that'd be really fun in a game.
I play as the sun in a video game, and it's a Sony one on the Vita, and I forget the name of it. Do you guys
I thought you were doing like 20 questions here, and I was like...
It basically is, because I forget the name 2005? Of it.
Are you talking about Loco Roco?
No, if you said it, I would know.
Because if I beat Loco Roco and I found out that Loco Roco was the sun, that would be the coolest twist.
What's baffling about this, that this was going to be a GDC, is that Mark Cerny's baffling talk was also going to be a GDC. So why didn't they include this in his talk that they put out? I think people would have been a lot more receptive to that presentation if they could actually see this stuff. Yeah,
it was all a GDC. That's a really good point.
Maybe their GDC presence was going to just be PCs, and then now that they needed to delay that, that's when negotiations happen. Could very well be the case.
Maybe.
Hey, Tina, did you figure out what game that was?
No, I'm still Googling.
Hey, hand me your phone.
Okay. Wait.
See, it doesn't look right to me. I hope it looks right on the final product.
I can't figure it out either.
It worked out. It was just slow. We need more practice.
You guys need to play it. Cool. Look, we had it. Damon and Justin, you just needed to play it cool. That's all you needed.
Yeah, you needed to believe in it.
I was on board. I can see it. Right. We can see it in the corner.
I feel like your guys' phone gag is just trying to take away from my hat.
It's true. We felt outshined.
Well, at least we prepped you guys for that for the phone gag. The hat came out of nowhere. Also, you got a lot of triangles behind you.
I know. Not quite billions of triangles, but
better rendering than any of our triangles.
Should we move on to Ghost of Tsushima?
Yeah, the last thing I was going to say about Unreal is I saw like this crazy who's on first happening over and over and over again in the comments of like, wait, so that was playable? Yes. Yeah. So it's a video game? No, it's not. But you can play it. Yeah, you can play it. How is it not a game? Like I understand.
Yeah, it's not technically a game.
Yeah, like what makes it not a video game? Like what makes it not a 60 second video game? And the point of it being playable is that it's not pre-rendered and they're not faking it. Like you can actually adjust this stuff in real time. But I saw it all over message boards and IGN and Twitter all day long, and it tickled me immensely.
It's called Tearaway Media Molecule.
Oh yeah, Tearaway.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You can use the camera and then put yourself in the sun. It's very cute.
Yeah, that's right. We'll talk more about putting yourself into video games later on.
Yeah.
Wow. Just all right.
Today we got a really nice long gameplay demo of Ghost of Tsushima. And previously on GameScoop, we've talked about how some of you weren't quite sure what to make of this game, didn't know what the game was actually going to play or look like. How are you feeling about it now, Sam?
I'm so hyped. I mean, they had a whole segment on exploration.
Yeah, where you just follow foxes and birds to secret locations.
And wind.
Yeah,
and the wind. There's no HUD, and like it just has these gusts of wind that you follow, and then you follow a fox for a bit and a bird. Yeah, it's so me. Like, I love that game. I love exploring and nature and finding cool things, and I just hope that the things you find are worth it, and they actually adjust that a little bit too. That's good. I think the combat looks a little jank, so we'll see how that turns out.
That's just how samurais fight.
Yeah, maybe.
Samurais are famously janky.
Yeah. Yes, it's the jank of the era. There was a lot of limbs missing by the end of those fights too. That always troubles me a little bit in video games. Sorry to
go ahead.
The wind thing is clever because I love that they're sort of redefining these like very basic gameplay elements or like, you know, tutorial elements or whatever. Like in one scene where they're describing the stealth combat versus, you know, all out open combat, like you can even use fear against your enemies. And it's just like where you throw a rock and have them like kind of scrawl out to go surprise them behind them.
They're like, what was that?
Yeah, it's a good way of describing it.
Firecrackers is cute. Yo, man, stealth kills are gross too. You like stab up through a chin every game. I feel like that's the loudest way to kill somebody, but it seems to work in video games.
There's never one person that doesn't die, and it's like, hey, everybody, I just got stabbed.
I'm not dead.
Yeah,
last crying death.
Ow!
Wake up, everybody.
Ow. I think the game looks great. I'm way more interested in it now than I was before. Ironically, because it actually looks fairly traditional. Like it looks like Assassin's Creed. It looks like Assassin's Creed or Far Cry or The Witcher. And I had some amount of concern that it was going to be some very weird, different samurai game. Like, you know, some samurai face up, just some really odd feeling thing. And like, I think some people's hype levels will probably be smaller because it's got these, you know, indicators for how visible you are and like, you know, the stealth, it feels very traditional, but for me, that puts me at ease. I'm like, oh, this is a game that I want to play. Assassin's Creed Odyssey is a couple years old. Now I'm ready to explore a new, big, gorgeous open world. And of course I'm going to be a stealth character. Of course.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. For as long as you can.
Yeah.
I also didn't think like photo modes are cool and all, but I didn't think the photo mode demonstration would be as exciting as it was. But you can pick the particles that are displayed in, if you're doing like a video, if you're capturing video in an environment, you can pick the particles. Like you can pick the leaves, you can pick the direction of the wind and like what direction the leaves are blowing in. It's just so detailed. I don't think I've ever seen something as robust as that.
Yeah, it was very cool. I thought it was a little strange when the voiceover guy was like, it wouldn't be a Sucker Punch game if it didn't have photo mode. I was like, well, I don't really, that's not like the first thing that comes to mind when I think of Sucker Punch, but okay.
Maybe they had like a really early photo mode or something. That was surprising to me too.
They're just trying to reestablish their PR identity.
Okay. PM. Japanese voice chat is cool. I also thought the Samurai Cinema mode was cool. Just make it black and white, add some film grain, add some wind blowing. It actually really, really strikingly looks like a lot of old samurai movies.
Question was answered, you know, with the, can you play it all in Japanese from the start? I think that's so cool because like the kind of gruff, you know, men in Japanese accents was like really kind of silly sounding to me when I was watching the demo, but
yeah,
they gave you the option. It's great.
It's the Babylon Berlin issue.
Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Yeah, when they showed off the Japanese voice track, it didn't seem like it seems like the lips were synced for English. So I don't know. Hopefully that will be sorted out.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully that'll be sorted out.
Got a few weeks.
They have a few weeks. Yeah. What is that? July 17th.
Yeah. Same day as Mario, right?
Yeah, you're getting ahead of ourselves.
You didn't write that down as a topic for us today.
It's a surprise topic. we just got the news today. I think this is that sort of gameplay demo is just what Ghost of Tsushima needed to get people excited for it. I think that game looks very cool, and I'm totally on board.
Cool.
Okay, we can talk about Paper Mario then, because we just got that news today. It's that July 17th.
Perfect segue.
Same day as Ghost of Tsushima, Paper Mario, the Origami King. The Origami King.
Origami King.
Origami.
A brand new adventure that has Mario teaming up with his new partner, Olivia, as they team up with unlikely allies like Bowser and the Toads. I don't know. I would describe the Toads as likely allies.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, you're saving them. You're not allying with them, but.
This game looks cool. I've actually never played a Paper Mario game.
Oh, they're great.
None of them. For no reason. I haven't specifically avoided them. I just haven't.
I've played 30% of a lot of them. I really like Super Paper Mario because it has, action, but it had the same vibe, which is Paper Mario games have good writing sometimes and they're kind of funny. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty cool. I think they'll knock this one out of the park. They've been on a tear with Paper Mario, except for the Wii U one. People don't.
I hope that was pun intended.
Yes.
I choose to believe it was pun intended.
Damon, have you played Mario and Luigi?
I played, some of those. I think I always just play them for a while and then get sort of burned out on them.
Yeah,
that's what I do.
I like Mario and Luigi a little more than Paper Mario, but they are both excellent.
Good new style. They needed to change it up. I'm tired of the same Paper Mario, and I think it's cool that they're using these cool 3D folded versions of the characters that are polygonal and neat. It's really neat.
It's a little odd that game is 2 months away. And they're just like, hey, we have a brand new, AAA tentpole game. It's coming out in 7 weeks. Here you go. I'm like, wow, it's odd.
that's so Nintendo.
Yeah.
And it leaks.
Yeah. That's true.
That was part of the leak. The leaks from a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that's the leak was saying oh, there's going to be Mario remakes. And part of this is also new Paper Mario. So, hey. Good start to that, just confirming that rumor.
So does this does this lend credence to the other rumors about Mario remasters?
Not in real news, but it's cool.
Well, that and the leaks were from so many different angles from so many different people, so
that's true. Tina, are you a Paper Mario fan?
I also haven't played a Paper Mario, but looks cute as hell, and I like Peach's little penguin walk.
Yeah, we're walking great. I love seeing the Princess Peach castle here, and then I just get so stressed out seeing all that fire around all that paper.
Yeah.
The games are full of just puns and visual gags about characters being two dimensional. So they're turning sideways and sliding through spaces, and it never gets old. It's it's a joke that carries you through the whole game. It's great.
And then I don't know if you guys watched the trailer to the end, but Mario gets a little Samus helmet at the end.
Yeah. It's great. They're not afraid to, the Mario RPGs have always, Sam's right, they've always had very good writing, and they're not afraid to just sort of lampshade absurd Nintendo stuff and celebrate it in an interesting way. All the way back to Mario RPG, they've done that. So they're great.
There's so much going on in this trailer. I stopped it and watched it a few times and slowed it down and just it's a huge, cool looking game from this little trailer.
It's the next big Nintendo exclusive that we know of. And they just sort of casually announced it this morning.
I think that's all we know of for this year, right?
As of right now. Yeah. Oh wait, here we're going to see the Samus helmet after this long splash screen.
Who is the Origami King? Is it Bowser?
Ooh, no. There it is.
It's so weird.
It's great.
Did you say that's it? Yeah, that's it.
There's Donkey Kong there too.
I know. Oh, I know.
Already part of the extended Mario universe, though. Or is Mario part of the Donkey Kong universe?
So it's that or Ghosts of Tsushima. Same day.
It's so good to have a game for Switch at the same day as a big AAA game, because I totally play them both. That's like the best case scenario, is that I'm playing a lot in my living room, and then I go and like lie somewhere else in the house, or sit somewhere else, or you know, go outside and play for a little bit, which I've actually been doing with Switch, and it looks pretty good. I can sit outside in the sun and play Switch. I'm shocked. Never would have thought to do that.
Okay, moving on. We also finally found out, got confirmation, the long rumor Tony Hawk 1 and 2 remasters were confirmed this week. And that is out September 4th, the same day as Avengers. Ooh. There's a lot of head-to-heads happening this summer.
Yeah, I know.
That one. I think we have plenty of time at home to just sit and play video games.
Okay. Yeah. September.
I've never played a single. Yeah, there's also other games in September. Yes.
No, I'm just saying, like, are we still going to be here in September?
Hmm. Yeah, probably variations of this. I really like. Well, go ahead. I don't have. I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, I just want to know if you guys are excited for this.
I just got bummed about September. Oh yeah, I never played the single player versions of Tony Hawk 1 and 2. I just went to friends' houses and they kicked my butt in it. It wasn't fun.
Oh man, it's totally fun to just pass the controller. That's how you play these games. I think that's the best way to play these games. Because on each map, there's all this different stuff to unlock and find. Mm-hmm. And so you like take turns doing that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you need like time to get familiar. If you're going to a friend's house who has it and has been playing for hours before you've even arrived, then it's more fun when you're on each other's level.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the problem I've had.
I love that they still have split screen too. Like I feel like so few games do that, and having that opportunity, if you know, comes the time that we can actually hang out with people again, would be nice to play games on a couch together like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wish we had this one when, you know, I wish we had a big office to play this one in. It looks so good.
It's really pretty.
It's a cartoony game originally that they chose to go with this like really pretty art style. It's kind of surprising.
Yeah.
They said, sorry, Justin, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I just completely agree. Like the visual style, how, you know, it's more than an update, right? Like it's completely redone from the ground up to look contemporary to 2020. And, you know, every single thing that they said in their announcement was like ticking all the boxes of like getting all the correct soundtrack, you know, elements back, and how they rebuilt the courses, and just the feel and the animations, and making sure that like that muscle memory could return from people that played Tony Hawk a lot. Like, everything is right. So I'm very, very excited. I'm bummed it is $60.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think the muscle memory thing holds up from that many years?
Well, no, like I don't think anyone probably literally has muscle memory from the 90s, but I just mean like they really said that they put a lot of care and time and attention into like tricks taking the same amount to complete, and like the jumps and landings and grinds and all that stuff feeling the same. Like that's really important to them, which a lot of, you know, updated games get wrong.
Sure. And the point about I imagine it kind of comes back after you play a few rounds, but I liked the point about like the photoreal quality. And I have the quote from them that they're saying, like, you know, we're using scan material from getting the skaters to come back in and get scanned, photogrammetry references for textures and assets within the environment. So it all just looks luscious and beautiful. Let's make it feel like you're in a skate video. Let's make it feel like you're in a Thrasher magazine taking that really awesome shot. And it was like a really interesting point, because I also remember Phil Spencer talking about how, like, I think he said 20 games in 2021 would start to be impacted by COVID because you wouldn't be able to scan people in and do a lot of like motion capture. So like, how are you supposed to start to develop that photoreal look? So maybe this is the last game that got it in.
Yeah, they're not going to be a lot of location shooting going on for a while for games.
Yeah, exactly. That's why the Hollywood world has been so much more impacted so earlier on in the phase of this thing.
Yeah. Phil also mentioned like a game audio has been set back. Like if you're going to have an orchestral score for your game, like symphonies aren't getting together in a room together anytime soon. So,
yeah, for sure.
Bummer. I was always, and I know that this is an unpopular opinion, but Tony Hawk 4 is my Tony Hawk game of choice. And so I hope that, you know, 1 and 2 succeeds and then we get 3 and 4 after, because that's the one that like I personally have nostalgia for, and that's the one that had the Alcatraz stage, and like to me that's the best one, although you know, I'm aware that that's not a commonly held opinion.
I can't play these games without a plastic skateboard with no wheels.
What a mess.
It was full of technology. I never played 4, but this series, I think up through 4, it was one of the most consistently high-rated series on IGN. Every single one has above a 9.0. They're like 9.1, 9.2, 9.5. They all were really, really high-scoring games.
Wow.
I played 1 and 2. My memory is that I played them in college. I had a job delivering the campus mail. I worked in the mailroom. And then I worked with a good friend of mine, and we had a little pickup truck, and we were allowed to drive the truck anywhere on campus, even on the grass. Whoa. So we would drive the truck around delivering the mail. And after we made our rounds, we'd come back to the mailroom and we played Tony Hawk, and we just passed the controller back and forth until we had to go out again. And
so on the first day, your boss is giving you a lecture. He's like, now remember, you're a mailman now. You can drive anywhere you want. And then you were like, oh, even on the grass? And he was like, even on the grass. And your buddy turned to each other like, yeah.
Yeah, we called ourselves the Campus Males. And we had a great time playing. We played both Tony Hawk 1 and 2 that way. And then I played Tony Hawk 3 on GameCube because I got it at launch. It was like one of the launch games that I got. It was good.
Do you realize there was probably somebody driving that truck around until like, you know, mid-February this year having the best time of their lives?
It was a great
in the winter, actually. Wasn't it terrible in the winter?
It was a great job to have in college. I think I started in like February, and I only kept it through that summer. So I missed most of the harsh weather that time.
Smart. That's really smart. Yeah.
Did you know when you were living it that you're like, oh man, this is one of those moments that's gonna like, I'm really living it right now.
I knew I had a good job
until after.
No, I knew I had a good job at the time. I had a good easy job with my friend. I could drive on the grass.
You're still riding the high of meeting John Romero at New Year's.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's when you peaked.
Yep, that was my peak. It was all downhill from there.
Oh, are you kidding me? I think the hat was the peak today.
Yeah, this is a new peak. Yeah. You know, there are peaks and valleys in life. This hat is a new peak. speaking of peak, Kingo is 9 months old today.
Oh,
wow.
It's crazy. Just like that. I just wanted to point out, when people were reporting on the Tony Hawk 1 and 2 remaster, literally no outlet mentioned that they've done this before. There was Tony Hawk Pro Skater HD in 2012. And I think everyone just completely forgot about it.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
Which is fine. IGN gave it an 8. I think Nick Vargas reviewed it for us.
Yeah.
Well, why was that glossed over? I kept on being like, they already did this. They already did this.
I don't know. I don't know why. I think people.
Well, where were you, Damon, when we ran our news story?
I was hit right here.
The news story. Did you mention an idea now?
Yeah, it was delisted from stores in 2017. So maybe that's why people have just completely forgotten about it. But then I did not even know there was a Tony Hawk 5 released in 2015.
Tony Hawk 5 is a disaster. I think we gave it, 3.5?
We gave it a 3.5. Yeah.
But that's not actually a disaster on our scale. What is 3? It's 4 is bad.
Sam should know. Sam has all
three,
these.
3 is bad.
Just bad.
4 is mediocre. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, it got a 3.5. It's a horrible game. And I don't know if this story is true or apocryphal, but I heard it came out on the day that Activision lost the Tony Hawk license. So they literally had to the game had to launch. And I remember it had some, like the patch that came out on day one was, and I'm speaking from memory here, but I think it was like bigger than the data on the game disc itself. And like the game disc only had like one level on it and the whole game was patched in because they needed every single moment up until the game's launch to like,
was this not Activision?
No, this is Activision. So maybe they maybe they had to get it out in order to keep their deal or something. Well,
yeah, they had something a deadline like that like was absolutely immovable, and like the game's horrible, but it's kind of a miracle that like it exists and came out at all.
Yeah. Before we bounce off this, Sam has one of the best ideas for a video game I've ever heard, but I won't bring it up if you want to keep it a secret.
No, go for it.
Well, I think you should tell it. It's your idea.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Your idea for a skateboarding game.
Maybe I really don't know what you're talking about.
You had an idea for a skateboarding game set in the 80s. Open world skateboarding game set in the 80s.
Yeah, that would be pretty perfect.
It's great.
Why don't they do that? Everything would be like the cool fishtail, flat, wide body neon board, slime ball wheels.
There'd be all these, you'd have the punks with the big mohawks.
Mm-hmm. Everything and would then, be cool based.
Yeah, but everybody could skateboard. Like the Valley Girls could skateboard and the preps and the jocks can skateboard. It's fine.
You'd buy from a guy named Rodney who looked a lot like Rodney Dangerfield with the mohawk.
Skate or die. Okay, let's share what we've been playing. I'll go first. Still playing Final Fantasy IX. I'm in Chapter 9, and I was talking to Sam about this. Final Fantasy VII, yes. I was tempted to bounce off it. That section with Cloud and Aerith goes on forever, and I didn't care about helping those kids. And then...
them kids.
The combat was like starting to get frustrating. Like, I don't like that you can't do anything when you start combat. You can't use an item, can't cast a spell. Waiting for your gauges to fill. Then when they finally fill, you have to heal yourself. And like, I don't know. It's like, if you get interrupted, whatever you did is just wasted. And now you have to wait again for your gauges to fill. But anyway, I played again last night for a couple hours and I'm back on board. I was having fun. So I'm going to stick with that for a while.
Where'd you get to?
I'm in Chapter 9.
You're okay, about so to enter like the highlight of the game. You're right okay. there.
We're going back to Sector 7.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
we did all the puzzles. We have to move the arms and lift up the crates.
You're right there. So when you play, the next time you play, you'll be at the best part of the game.
Okay, I'll play it tonight.
You could always, if you haven't gotten the first strike materia, that helps with at least one of your combat issues. Although I often use it for like in combination with the assess materia also. But
yeah, I mean, assess you can do whatever is good. With it. Yeah. Do you have to? Can you buy first strike at a store, or do you have to find it somewhere? I don't even know.
I'll tell you what we do.
Okay. You go to the walkthrough page of our wiki, and then in each chapter, it says where, which chapter in the chapter, it'll say which material is available. That's all it is. Just like the link to the chapter and what material is in it. It's super convenient. Check that out.
Did you just let me IGN wiki that for you? Damon?
Yeah. But also I also gave Damon the first strike tip.
I was like,
well, it clearly didn't stick.
He just doesn't have it. And I don't know.
I don't have it.
That's fair.
Anyway, are you guys still playing?
Oh, yeah.
I finished it.
Whoa.
I burned through. Really excited to talk about the ending when you guys get there.
I'll talk
to you. Really interesting.
I'm fully spoiled on the ending, so I'll talk to you about it.
Aw, that's a bummer that you got spoiled.
Can you just tell us, are you thumbs up or thumbs down?
So I hadn't played the original, and I definitely immediately, when I put the controller down, I immediately Googled for our ending explained. And read that, and it was a lot more comprehensive at that point. And I was like, okay, I see how these things intersected. And that's an interesting route to take the ending of a game to a remake. And that's all I'll say so that I don't spoil it. But generally, yeah, thumbs up. There were some really aggravating bosses. I'll admit that I dropped down to easy. And that's why I burned through. But it made it a little bit breezier and more enjoyable, less labor intensive. Sorry.
From what I understand, you actually through the hardest bosses before you did that. You just after that you changed.
Yeah, it was towards the end. I just I wanted to burn through the story. Yeah. It was the weekend. I finally had time to play and I didn't want to stretch it out too much longer.
I was stuck on some of those same bosses and there's some really hard battles in that game, but I wanted that at the time. And then I know at some point I'm just going to want to see the end, but I think I'm going to be able to get through it. We'll see.
I think it's a completely appropriate game to bump down to easy. Well, I mean, any game is an appropriate game to play whatever difficulty you want, but Final Fantasy VII in particular, the fights go on forever. Even if you're really skilled at the game, the boss fights just take forever. So it's that game in particular, just bumping it down to get through the story, feels very fair.
And you unlock a mode in the end where you can hop into any chapter and play it on hard mode. And that's the big incentive to go back and do those battles. So you might as well just do that.
Although I noticed, and I brought this up to Sam, that you can actually skip the motorcycle levels, the mini games.
When you go back. Okay, good.
I also think they patched it in. I think that was in the patch that came out, whenever, a couple weeks
ago. Oh, so now if you play it, you don't have to do the motorcycle
parts? Well, I don't know about the very first time through. I don't know. But they changed something about those motorcycle segments.
Boy, they did that with Final Fantasy 15 a lot. They just did so much tweaking afterwards to make it a better game.
Hmm. Yeah.
So Sam, what chapter are you on?
I must be on. I'm on the big side questy one, which I think is 14, but I might be in 15 now.
Okay. And Justin, you're still playing?
No. No. I didn't make the decision to stop playing. It's the same thing I said last week. I just stopped
Succession.
Playing. Yeah, I'm just watching a lot of Succession. I don't even want to say anything about Succession. I got to the crazy part of season 2.
I saw you tweet that, and I don't remember what that was, because to me the ending of season 1 is so much crazier, but I don't remember what
Kendall does the thing at his dad's memorial, not memorial, but his dad, they're celebrating his dad in Scotland, and Kendall does the thing there that's just completely insane.
I even know.
Oh, just Okay, I know it is, but I mean, I just thought that was funny. Anyway, we'll talk about
that. That was a big turning point in the story. Yeah.
the game I am playing is Picross still.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
It has color Picross in it, which is completely breaking my brain because it's like a different, like I've played a lot of Picross and when I play it, I'm like playing on automatic, like my brain turns off and I'm just filling in the puzzle. Mm-hmm. But color Picross changes the rules just enough that it's like, it completely flips me on my head. And it's a really, really cool addition to the games.
I also saw in the comments on YouTube that some people had started watching Babylon Berlin on our suggestion, cool. And that's great. I want more and more people to watch that show. And I think at least Justin has seen this maybe. We've been watching What We Do in the Shadows.
Started it. I'm in episode 4 of the first season, and I love it. It's so good.
It is one of my favorite. It's like people totally sleep on it. And like, yeah. I think it's actually is picking up buzz now, but it's on Hulu. Watch it. Yep. It's amazing.
I'm watching on Hulu and the episodes are like 22 minutes long. So you just fly through it. But it's
already on like mid rewatch of Never Have I Ever, which is like the best show I've seen this year. It's so good.
I have to shout out one more show. This is Stream Scoop now.
Yeah.
Middleditch and Schwartz.
I watched the first episode. It was so funny. Yes.
I think it's the hardest I've laughed at anything since I Think You Should Leave.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd like that one too, Sam. It's very funny.
Check that out. I've been hearing great things.
It's an improv show. It's great.
Watch Never Have I Ever. It's like Booksmart, the series. It's so good.
Hmm. The girl from Booksmart is in What We Do in the Shadows.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. I just heard her on NPR. She's very funny. I think that's Jonah Hill's sister.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. Let's check in with the listeners.
Hi. Hey,
listeners, remember you can reach us at the email address, and I'm realizing this will be a great use for the hat. Next episode, gamescoop@IGN.com, just like James in Sutton, UK did. And he says, a couple weeks ago on your pod, you discussed characters' facial customization options. I remember one of the old FIFA games, 11 or 12, had a functionality where you could upload a picture of your own face, put it on your own self-made player. At the time, I thought this was a great idea and would have hoped to have seen more of that in today's games. Would the Scoop panel use this feature if it was still around, or would you avoid it? I like this feature, yeah. And it is true that not many games use this.
I
said you're a host. You like seeing your face everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I always model characters after me, but I think like a direct representation might be weird. Like, what if it interprets your face all wonky? And then it just makes you sad.
But that makes it funny. Like I remember Rainbow Six Vegas let you scan your face in the game. And I looked like a deformed version of myself. And I thought it was so funny that was my character in the game.
What camera was available?
The Xbox 360 camera.
You just bought that for that?
Or it came with my Xbox? I don't remember. Yeah, it was like just it was a tiny little ring camera.
You probably had it.
Wasn't there an NBA game recently where you could scan in your face using some technology? They just turned you into like monsters. Like it was horrible and didn't work.
There's some history behind this, which is really funny. That technology was around and they were going to use it in this game. And it's a really cool game that ended up being the game Journey, which is an arcade game based on the band Journey, Don't Stop Believing. Yep. And they put the camera in there and immediately people took pictures of naughty things. Yeah. And then so that would go on your character's head and then you'd play it. So instead they're like, well, we'll just scan in celebrities and keep it locked. So they didn't use it. Until very recently, now it's back in arcades, in Jersey Jack pinball machines, especially, which we have in our office. They take a picture of you and put you on like a wanted poster or like put you on an Oompa Loompa bubble in Wonka. And like all this, they do stuff like that, right? And for that, the breakthrough there was so people didn't put their butts in there was no matter what you do, no matter what you're doing while you're playing that game, it finds a time where it just sees your face. And then it uses that one. It doesn't tell you when it's happening. It doesn't do anything like that. It just finds a face like using, you know, technology. Pretty funny.
Yeah. Later you find out they're storing a database somewhere with everyone's faces and their, you know, email or handles. And then they get broken into and all that.
Jersey Jack pinball is like being funded by the NSA now to get a face database.
But remember, it's mostly butts.
And it's always watching.
always watching.
It is, you know, Sam's right. The reason we didn't see this more in games is because everyone just instantly, it was just genitals everywhere. Everywhere.
It's the same thing with Pac-Man, with the original Pac-Man name. It was just immediately changed.
Yep. There are some other reasons for it. Like, they wanted to include this mode in Perfect Dark on the Nintendo 64. But I think, actually, I pulled up the IGN article from, when is this from? February 2000. We wrote about this. Perfect Dark ditches face mapping. It says, at last year's Electronics Entertainment Expo, Rare's 3D first-person shooter Perfect Dark was unveiled, and with it, a whole host of ingenious new additions over GoldenEye 007. Perhaps the most exciting innovation presented was a face mapping feature that enabled players to take a picture of themselves with a Game Boy camera and import their face onto a polygonal character in the game. Unexpectedly, bad news came this week when Nintendo, demonstrating a much more complete version of Perfect Dark, regretfully announced that the face mapping feature has been scrapped. They attributed the ejection to insurmountable technical problems that forced Rare to remove it. Evidently, the face mapping feature itself worked brilliantly, but the game would crash anytime gamers attempted to use their newly created faces in actual play environments. Some rumors suggest that politics may have had a hand in the deletion. Concerns over the face mapping feature, and more specifically how violent it might look to the mainstream press, which is already gunning for the games industry, could have contributed to the feature's demise.
Sure, yeah.
Like, can you imagine a company saying, like, yeah, we couldn't get it working, it was crashing our game all the time now, as an excuse? That would never really be a Nintendo first-party game. Yeah, it just crashed too much.
That really jumped out at me, too. They would never in a million, you know, they'd make up any excuse rather than just say, oh, we couldn't get it to work.
Yeah.
It would never happen. Which, but the irony is that that's probably a lie, and it probably was politics, right? Like, you know, like, how long until someone makes a stage where there's, like, children being shot, like, you know, all kinds
that's
of
all
you,
that's all. The only children were playing that game. It was just going to be kids shooting each other. And 2000 was that's the year after the Columbine massacre. So it was a big top of mind thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think the feature can be amusing. I do wish I saw it more often, but I guess I totally see that it can be hard to police that when people.
We all had the discussion about when we use our own tools to make things in games, we don't make things that look like ourselves, though, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Isn't that the case?
Plus, it's more, I guess, more.
You do. Yes. Like,
well, yeah, he does. Yeah.
Speaking it'd be more of Unreal fun. Engine 5, they say that hair physics are going to look so much better. And that's been my one huge complaint is I like to have long hair, and long hair on video game characters never works.
Oh, yeah, that's a really good point. Like, that's the worst looking type of hair for video game characters.
Oh, yeah.
It's just regular long hair, right?
Yeah, a lot of people don't even have it. It's like shoulder length at best because it starts to clip at the shoulders.
Yeah, it just goes inside the body.
Yep.
Is there any game that you think does it pretty well?
I feel like Lara's probably had her hair in a ponytail, and that's kind of worked out. So it's like a fake out long hair.
Yeah.
But yeah. Journey was really beautiful. There was no hair, but it was a lot of like fluid scarf looking.
Scarf?
Yeah.
The Animal Crossing cartoon hair looks pretty good.
Someone else wrote an email this week, and I passed on the email because what they were mentioning was something I hadn't experienced recently. But anyway, they're complaining about, and I'm sorry, I don't remember your name. They're complaining about how in video games, when characters are in bed, they always lie on top of the covers.
Yeah.
And then when I was playing Final Fantasy VII last night, when Cloud is at Aerith's house, they show him and he's just lying there on top of the covers of the bed, sure enough. And I was like, that guy's right.
It drives me insane. Final Fantasy is the game that jumped out at me too, because not only is he just laying in the bed, but like he's got his boots on and like he's still got his big shoulder thing.
Any sort of sleep shirt or shorts. Like,
look, you guys know how awkward Cloud is. He just didn't want to get under in the sheets and all. He's trying to be a good guest.
But he can take his little bolty shoulder thing off.
Yeah, but then is he really an ex-soldier if he takes off his uniform?
Yeah.
He's got an identity to preserve.
What's he always blame thing? Oh, yeah, the Mako. It's the Mako.
Mako.
Yeah. Why are you being awkward? It's the Mako.
Oh, my gosh. What is Aerith's mom's problem? Jeez. Like, she gives Cloud the dirtiest looks.
They will explain that in the story at some point. She has a very interesting relationship with Aerith.
Okay.
Hey, you had the part with the pizza party, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then we never get to have the pizza. Cloud never has any pizza.
No.
Can confirm having completed the game, no pizza.
That's ridiculous. And also, I think I'm supposed to go on like 4 dates by now. None of those have happened.
It's coming in.
We've all been battle dates.
Hey, Tommy. World's happiest cat.
Yeah.
That's a good view, though. Wow. Aww, we got a little wink.
Your camera's so good. It just adjusted the focus to her little whiskers, and now it's blurring out the background. It looks really good.
Yeah.
It's portrait mode.
Yeah, it did pull. It looks so good.
It pulled focus. That was
really cool. Look at her little toes.
Toe bean.
Okay. All right. She's had enough.
I heard the meow.
Yeah. Put me down.
That brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Joe Big Smirk Smirker, and he wants to make things interesting. He says, if you name my game for 20 questions, I will make a $100 donation to the Red Cross for coronavirus relief under the name Game Scoop.
Oh, that's cute.
But just do it if we lose as well. Or maybe, okay.
Here's just do it if Game Scoop sucks.
Yeah, yeah. Make it that's under good. Game Scoop that's rules really Game Scoop sucks.
Or double it if we lose.
All right. Well, let the questioning begin.
That is a very sweet gesture, but I don't like feeling like I'm normally just spoofing and goofing during this segment.
Now it's really on. The stakes are high. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did this game come out before January 1st, 2000?
No.
Are there vehicles and or skateboards?
That you can control.
You're asking all of that?
Yeah. Well, I'm counting skateboards as a vehicle, of course.
There are vehicles.
Should we ask if there are skateboards specifically?
Is this a game from a company that has an E3 press conference? Had.
They've probably had one in the past, but not recently.
What do you define as past?
Was this game developed in Japan?
Yes.
Could be Konami.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking too.
Could be Metal Gear.
It's got the vehicles. Let's go with it.
Is there sneaking / stealth in this game?
No. That's 5.
Unlikely to be Metal Gear.
Changed so fast. Was this game available on a Nintendo console?
Yes.
Okay.
Was
this game developed or was this game developed or published by Nintendo?
No.
Is it on the Switch?
No.
Is it part of a series?
Yes.
It's after 2000. I want to know the console. So what does that leave? That leaves GameCube, Wii, or the handhelds, Wii U.
Is this I don't want to go that far yet.
Is it an open world game?
No. That's 10.
I was trying to figure out the vehicle angle. Like, is it super focused on it, or are you like exploring and then hopping in vehicles?
There's a lot of freedom in the game, but you wouldn't classify it as an open world game.
So you probably do still stumble on vehicles, and it is not like a straight.
Was this on a console was this on a system that has motion controls?
No.
Okay. So it's not DS 3. It's not 3DS. It's not Wii or Wii U. It has to be GameCube, Game Boy Advance, or DS.
Was this game released on the GameCube?
Yes.
Oh, that makes it so much easier. The library is tiny.
And it was developed in Japan. It was made in Japan. Could be. I don't know if Capcom ever had E3 press conferences, but maybe point in their history.
The vehicles is kind of weird.
At the time this game came out, was it exclusive to the GameCube?
No.
It's not one of the Capcom 5.
Mm-mm. So Sam, it's cool.
Are you cheating? What? Are you cheating?
No. Okay. I can hear Tina take my phone.
Wait.
No, it's not, you're down there. There.
Let's see. It's a cross-platform game that came to GameCube. It has to be something like Capcom or Konami or something like that, you know.
Is the developer still in business?
Yes.
Developer.
So it's not one of the other Japanese developers, just like someone from that era that's not with us anymore.
Is this an adult game?
An adult game? Like,
rated like for teens and adults, or is it for like kids?
Do
you want to go like T rating versus
T and up.
Yes. Well, I mean, God, I don't know. Hold on.
You can cheat, Damon.
Yeah.
Let's see.
See what he's typing. where is this?
Yeah. Let me see the keyboard. Look at his eyes.
Hey, Damon, hold on. Was this well received?
That's your question. Yes, that's 15.
15?
Yep. You're looking at probably a T-rated game. Wait, oh, that would make it 16 if you wanted to answer that question.
No, we don't want to ask that one.
Yeah,
that puts you at 16. T-rated game.
Oh, man. Not open world, but you have a lot of freedom. Made in Japan. Developers still around.
Freedom and vehicles part of this.
Probably used to have E3 press conferences. It was on the GameCube, but not exclusively.
What if it's a skateboarding game?
And it's part of
You know what? It could be a Jet Grind Radio or Jet Set Radio feature.
Yeah. That would have come out at the same time on another system too. Dreamcast?
Yeah.
It's kind of open-y too. I mean, Crazy Taxi is also.
Could be Crazy Taxi. It could totally be Crazy Taxi. Now that I'm stuck on Sega.
Should we ask if it's a Sega game?
I don't know.
Is this a Sega game?
Yes.
Okay. What's the smartest way? I mean, you know, so Crazy Taxi was an arcade game. Like, is that helpful? Was this a port of an arcade game?
No.
So it could be Jet. I don't know anything about the Jet series.
Now you got me, because, you know, they're on Dreamcast. I forget which one's which. I think Jet Set Radio Future. And I'm also not sure. Like, I think that game might have been only on Xbox. I don't really know.
Yeah. The semi-open stuff precludes things like, there's the Monkey Balls.
Yeah.
Sonic games. Racing Sonic stuff.
Yeah.
Vehicles.
Yeah, not all the way back then, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Received well.
That game had like the Jet Set that was like cell shading, right? Like a cartoony cell shaded style.
I don't know. Not quite like Borderlands. If we want to get specific with it, we could ask about spray painting mechanics, but then that would kind of burn a question without helping inform it against a different game.
We can ask about violence. Like, is this a violent game? Because that game's definitely not violent.
Right? Yeah, but you did the rating thing already.
No, we didn't. We didn't use the question.
Yeah, you did.
We did. It's teeing up.
But we don't know how violent it is.
Hey, does the soundtrack matter in that game?
In Jet Set, yeah.
Is this game known for having a baller soundtrack?
I don't think so.
Then nope.
Is it Taiko Drummaster?
Damn, Sega game. We can totally get this.
Yeah, we can get it.
You're down to your last question. Remember, like, you know this is on GameCube, but you don't...
Don't associate it with that.
It doesn't mean that it, like, originally was released on GameCube.
Yeah, I mean, it's Sonic Adventure or something, right?
Yeah.
If it's Billy Hatcher, I'm going to be so mad. That's the joke every time.
It might be Billy Hatcher. I don't know if that was
a GameCube exclusive.
Yeah, you're right. It was. Okay. It's probably like Sonic Adventure 2 or something like that.
What are the other big Sega franchises that just kind of exist? Is
Panzer Dragoon, Sonic.
What's still coming out from Sega?
That's a good question, man.
There's also RPGs.
The Yakuza series.
Yakuza.
Sonic, of course.
I think we should guess Sonic Adventure 2.
Is there a vehicle in it?
Well, we still have a question before, I guess.
No.
This is it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And that's the Sonic to go with? Is there a racing Sonic game?
We
wouldn't know the name of it.
I don't think... So I'm going to be so mad if I'm wrong. I don't think Sonic Racing had started that far back. I think they're more current than that.
It's just weird that we wouldn't have gotten to Sonic somehow. And also, what the hell vehicle is it? Skateboard? Does he have a skateboard in it? Is this the skate? Do we get caught up in this? Yeah. You probably have a snowboard. Wait, isn't there a snowboarding Sega game?
I don't know, man.
All right, let's just do Sonic Adventure 2. We don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Is this Sonic Adventure 2?
No, it's not. Ugh. But it was developed by Sonic Team.
Oh, no. What did they make? It was
Phantasy Star Online.
Oh, well, God.
I just said that. I just, oh my gosh.
No, you didn't say that. You said they had those RPGs.
Oh, I thought I was only thinking of Phantasy Star.
Came to Dreamcast in 2001, GameCube in 2002, Xbox in 2003.
Hmm.
Here's a good note, though. What was his name? Joe Big Smirk Smurger said if you lose, he'll donate $50.
Okay.
To the Red Cross in the name of GameScoop.
Fair. It's terrible.
That game does have a baller ass soundtrack, by the way. I don't know how much reputation it has for it. It's really like it's one of the best, but I don't know if that's like broken
that's
through.
60 bucks right
sorry.
There. At least 60 bucks right there.
A little different with like licensed music, I guess, is the connotation there.
Yeah.
Like a Tony Hawk kind of reputation. GTA.
Really unfortunate use of that Dead Kennedys song, which is already a bad song, and I don't like that band, even though I like that era in punk a lot. But
what is
a lot of ironic? It has a lot of ironic lyrics in it that, when you play them straightforward, it sounds really bad in the Tony Hawk trailer.
Hmm. I think Phantasy Star Online was the first online console game because the Dreamcast shipped with a modem inside it, right?
Yes, it had a modem that attached to the outside of the GameCube.
Hmm.
Okay. I have to go.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Justin can go and we'll all go. That's all the scoops we have for you this week. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Tina. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Borba, behind the scenes. Everybody, stay safe, and we'll see you next week. My name is Damon, IGN GameScoop, and we're out. The hat.
Friends, this is Mark Nail, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you, and let's make season two even more memorable together.